If you wouldn't mind getting those, that'd be great. And I do want to read those, a couple things for you from our missionaries. But I do want to go, if you want to turn your Bibles to Isaiah, and we're going to continue where we left off, the book of Isaiah in chapter number 58 tonight. Isaiah chapter number 58. Let me kind of refresh us where we were last Thursday night, and then I'll look to read our missionary prayer letters. But we're studying fasting and what we can get from the examples of those in the Bible who did fast. And we looked last week, and I just remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave the command. He said that when ye fast, thank you, brother, when ye fast, and so he expects us to spend time in fasting and prayer. So then we studied the different people in the Bible that did fast and why they fasted. We looked at Moses, and Moses fasted, and we saw that he found direction from God. He was given the commandments and the way of God, and then he saw a refreshed view of the wickedness of sin and had a willingness to forgive. So we saw Moses got direction from God. David received consideration from God. He went to the Lord on behalf of his baby that was sick, and he sought for clemency or forgiveness, that God would change his mind and save the baby. That was not God's will, but during his fasting, David found comfort. Comfort and only that God can give in the death of a loved one, and then also confidence. He knew that he would see this child again. And we didn't have that anywhere else in the Word of God, that when a baby dies, but God had spoken to David during his time of fasting. And then we studied Elijah, how that Elijah was rejuvenated from God. He found that rejuvenation from the Lord. Excuse me. And he spent time in fasting. Of course, Jezebel was sought to kill him, and he left for his life. But during this time of fasting, he was restored by God. He was refreshed by God, and he was reminded by God that he was not alone, and that he was able to do this, and what the voice of God truly was. Then we studied Ezra and Nehemiah as the temple and the walls of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt, and they sought in their fasting time remission from God. They acknowledged their sin. They took action against their sin, and they apologized for their sin, trembling before God after prayer and fasting. We ended last Thursday with Esther, and Esther found protection from God. When wicked Haman had ordered that all the Jews were to be slain, or hung, I should say, and killed, Esther, with her uncle's counsel, Mordecai, she declared a fast as she would go to the king and seek protection for her people. We noticed there was a great danger in time of this fasting, but there was a great opportunity. She realized that this great danger brought, she was in a position for such a time as this, and then she showed great respect. And she knew how to approach the king because she had spent time with the King of Kings. And she fasting was a way of finding this protection from God. And so we want to continue that study in Isaiah chapter 58. All right, Isaiah in chapter number 58, and we're going to look at, thanks, we're going to look at, again, our next person that we're studying here in fasting. And, of course, this is Isaiah speaking. In Isaiah chapter 58, and verse number 6, if you read it with me, it says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thyself to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And that they shall be of thee shall, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So again, why did these different people fast? Moses for direction from God, David for consideration, Elijah for rejuvenation, Ezra and Nehemiah for remission, Esther for protection, and now Isaiah for restoration. Israel was in a bad state here. Israel had found himself in idolatry and wickedness. They had been reproved and would be reproved for their idolatry in the chapter before and after. But yet, in the midst of their sin, they were still going through all their traditions. They were still going to the temple. They were still even practicing fasting. They were still just following and doing things, but none of it meant anything. They were doing it because you do it. We've all been guilty of doing that. We've all gone to church maybe on a midweek or even a Sunday, and we just went because we knew we were supposed to go. And we didn't pay attention during the sermon. We didn't get much from the singing. We were there in body, but not there in spirit. And the fact is, that's Israel had done that, had become that as a country and as a nation. They were just going through motions. They were doing it. Yet at the same time, their sin and their indulgence in idolatry had grown more and more and more and more. And so Isaiah the prophet was sent by God to correct them. And he decreed a fast. Now, a lot of Israel would have said, we already fast. And that's where we get this passage of Scripture, where Isaiah rebukes them and says, I know that you've been fasting, but you've not really been fasting. And he talks about the importance of fasting. And look again in your text in Isaiah chapter 58. Look in verse number 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? He was seeking restoration from God. Restoration that God would restore the people there in Israel, God's people. And the first thing that they needed to do, according to Isaiah here in verse number 5, is to afflict the soul. Again, that's not something that's out of the ordinary. If you remember the last few weeks we studied this, I've read to you Psalm chapter 35 and in verse number 13, which says this, talks about fasting. It says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I humbled my soul. You see here, Isaiah uses the word afflict my soul. The fact is this, part of the importance in why God instituted fasting the way that he did is because it truly taught discipline and setting yourself in a draw apart from the everyday, the things that our flesh wants and even needs, the things that we're so used to stop and to pull away. Now, why is that important? A lot of people don't do it. And one of the reasons they don't fast is because simply they don't want to. They just don't want to tell themselves no. They like eating. They like doing whatever it is that they're doing. They don't want to change their lifestyle. They think that I can't. And I, again, a different time, a different sermon, that there are some with medical issues that you cannot, all right? Understand. But what we're talking about here is the people, and generally speaking, people, they don't fast because they just don't want to. And one of the reasons why God instituted it is to afflict the soul or to humble the soul. In other words, to stop and say, wait a second, by the time I'm done with this, when I've pulled away, our sensitivity towards sin will be reawakened. The New Testament talks about this, that our conscience can become seared. In other words, we get used to things. We get used to immoral talk and cursing, and we get used to, you know, because let's admit it, we're surrounded by sin living in this world. I mean, it's everywhere. And because of that, we become desensitized towards it. And one of the reasons why Israel was in a problem, they were, is because they were doing things that they were supposed to do, but they had just gotten used to sin, allowed the world to come in, which they were not supposed to. They were intermingling with the other nations, which they were not supposed to. And they allowed themselves to become used to sin, build other temples, false gods were being worshipped, and they just never called it out for what it is. And God had Isaiah said, it's time to fast, to afflict the soul so that you can take a fresh look and maybe see and take some inventory. Am I being carnal? Have I compromised? Am I being corrupted? Because a lot of times it's going on in our life and we don't even know it's there unless we take a step back. And we allow ourselves to become pulled away and allow God to speak to us. You know, I've said before, when I first went to college, you know, I didn't listen. I wouldn't classify anything wicked. When I went to college, about three-fourths of the music I was listening to, they said, not here. Wow. I couldn't believe they had the nerve to do that, right? You know, because I wasn't listening to rock music. And, you know, and I was pretty flustered at the college at first for, you know, these unnecessary rules. But, you know, I tried to adhere. And what happened, the more that I adhered to that, the more, you know, and not to say that anything was, you know, wicked while I was listening to. But it was amazing that after 4 years of that, when I was reintroduced to certain things, I didn't have a desire for it anymore. Maybe you've gone through the same thing, you know, and I just encourage you, you know, if you say, you know, this is a different aspect to fasting, but I want to encourage you to try this. If you say, well, you know, I like my music, nothing wrong with my music. Great. Take 2 weeks and don't listen to any of it and spend that time in prayer asking God to make you sensitive and then go back and listen to it. Whatever God tells you. Well, I don't want to change anything that I wear. Fine. Just play the safe route for the next few weeks and spend time in prayer and fasting and then go back and visit that closet. You see, a lot of times when we take the time to step back and spend time with the Lord and afflicting our soul or humbling our soul, the Lord then and the Holy Spirit has opportunity to speak to us and our conscience isn't seared. We see things for maybe what they are. That's what Isaiah was doing here. He said, afflict the soul. And in verse number 6, this time of restoration fasting was to acquit the sinner. In verse number 6, it says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. You know another thing that Isaiah points out? He said, and again, understand, let's just take a glimpse back in what Isaiah was talking to. People that were going to the temple, people that were fasting, they were just, well, I'll skip this. I'm supposed to not eat the day, all right? And so they didn't eat that day. And they just went through it, never really pulling apart, never directing their attention to God. And while they were going through all these motions, they were still letting the Baal temple be built. They were still marrying people that worshiped Baal and even found themselves making sacrifices to false gods. And so Isaiah said, stop. Put these things aside and fast correctly, because when you fast correctly, it will break the bondage of sin. I don't know where you're listening from, but please look at me in the eyeballs right now. If there's a sin that you're having a hard time breaking free from, spend some time fasting over it, because God will break the bondage of sin. We know, and we've referred to in the New Testament, when the disciple says, we can't cast out this demon. And what did the Lord say? That there are some that can only be driven away and overcome through prayer and fasting. I know sin is addictive. I know certain sins are very addictive and they're hard to overcome. And in our flesh, virtually impossible. But through Christ, you can. And it may take times of fasting. But if you really want victory, God says, try me. I see a lot of Christians sometimes that just say, well, I just can't. That's my besetting sin, or that's my weakness, that's my burden, that's my, you know, you use Paul as an excuse that, you know, that's my thorn in the flesh. Continuing in sin was never Paul's problem. Right. Yeah. So don't use him as an excuse. I'm not saying you don't have a besetting sin. I believe we all do. I don't say we all don't have our own sins that we're more prone to wonder. But the fact is this, you can't overcome. Spend time in prayer and fasting. Afflict the soul. It's a time to acquit the sinner. Also, a time to alleviate the sorrowful. It says there at the end of verse number 6, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye may break every yoke. In other words, this time of fasting, you ever been depressed? You ever been overcome with sorrow? Do you know people that are? So I'm praying for him. How about fasting for him? Well, I'm trying to get through this, preacher. How about fasting? Spend time in prayer and fasting to remove this burden, this darkness that you're living in, this fog that you're trying to work your way through, this distance that you feel from everybody else, these wrong thoughts the devil's just pouring into your head. Get victory. It may take fasting. But there is restoration sought in afflicting the soul, quitting the sinner, alleviating the sorrowful. And then in verse number 7, in aiding the suffering. Notice what he said here. During this time of fasting, he said, all right, you're not going to eat, if you will, but instead go invest in other people's needs. Go take bread to those that are hungry. People that are poor and don't have anywhere to live, bring them in your house. If you see someone that has a need, go meet it. See what's going on. A lot of times, let's just be honest, right? A lot of times, if we have fasted, if we're not careful, we feel sorry for ourselves because we're fasting. Or we get so focused on ourselves, I'm so hungry, I can't wait to get over this fast. That's not a biblical fast. A biblical fast is when we're seeking God, we're putting these other things away, and one way, you say, well, I am hungry. My flesh does want something. I understand. And one way to get our minds off of that is go invest in other people. Take the time to go to them. Go see a need, meet it. And Isaiah said, when we do this kind of fast, God will change us as his people. There will be restoration from God. The next person we want to see is in Daniel in chapter number 10, if you'll turn there. Daniel chapter number 10. In Daniel chapter number 10, verses 1, we've talked about this when we studied the prayer life of Daniel, and we've referred to this before. But Daniel here, he had gotten a vision from God. And the vision, he didn't quite understand it all. He didn't quite get it all. So he was really overcome with this as he wanted some answers. So he began to pray. And we know that he fasted for 3 weeks here in Daniel chapter number 10. In verse number 1, I'll skim through it. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he takes 3 weeks and he fasts. Now what is he seeking? He's seeking instruction from God. Instruction from God. What is he seeking? Well, he's confused. You can see this in verse number 12 of the same passage. Then said he unto me, finally, again, I don't want to get into all this, but God sent an angel to answer Daniel's question immediately. But the devil in a spiritual warfare was going on that hindered this. And so eventually Michael, the archangel, would come and take over that battle. And then this angel came. And this is his words to Daniel. He said in verse number 12, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. So you see something about what Daniel was looking for. He was confused. He needed an answer. He spent time in chastening himself. That's what the verse says here. He says, in the middle of that verse, thou hast set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself. Again, he was afflicting his soul. He was pulling away from normalcy, pulling away from the things he normally did and enjoyed, and he pulled himself away because he just wanted direction from God. He just wanted God to settle this in his heart, and he went through a time of chastening. And what happened? He was calmed. God met his need. The angel told him that from the first time that he prayed, an answer was coming, and he was here with an answer. And then he goes on to describe and answer Daniel's confusion. So what's the point here for us? You ever gone through times you just had no idea what to do? You ever gone through times that maybe something just didn't make sense to you? Even, don't tell anybody I ever said this, but I've even read the Bible sometimes and got confused about things. Shocker, right? We all have. Have you ever heard one preacher say one thing and another preacher say another? And get confused? So how do I answer that? Try fasting. Maybe things and circumstances in your life have totally turned your life upside down, which generally speaking, everyone listening can adhere to tonight. We're all going through some things like, what is going on? For most of that I know, we're handling it and going on. But I do know some that they're scared to death. I do know some that this has overcome them with anxiety. And maybe you're listening to me tonight, and that's you, and I don't know about it, but that's you. If you're a child of God, spend time in prayer and fasting. Let God help you through this. And as you have this confusion, but you pull away and chasten your soul, God will calm your spirit. He'll give you an answer. David sought instruction from God. Let's go to the New Testament in Matthew chapter number 4. In Matthew chapter number 4, we see the next person that spent time in fasting, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered." So here we see Jesus fasting. Isaiah tonight fasted for restoration from God. Daniel fasted for instruction from God. Jesus, I believe, fasted for preparation from God. See, everything the Lord Jesus Christ did was for us an example. And Jesus spent time fasting. Do we really think that Jesus needed to get closer to God? I don't think so. I mean, no one has more of a perfect relationship than the Lord Jesus has with the Father. So why the fasting? As an example to us, because there's two things that were right here on the hinge in Jesus' life. Number one, he's beginning his earthly ministry. He had just gotten baptized by John the Baptist. From this point, he's going to call his disciples. He will establish the first church. He would begin teaching the miracles, heading to the cross, and would die for our sins and rise again. But he's beginning this. He had this task in front of him. A ministry that he knew where this ended. He knew what he would have to go through. And as he commenced this task that he knew as the Father's will, he spent time in prayer and fasting in beginning his ministry. Also, he was about to face temptation. Now, Jesus would never sin because he's the Son of God. He's perfect and righteous. But he would have to overcome these temptations. And he spent time in fasting, I believe, again, because an example for us. That just as his ministry was beginning, the task was at hand. He was about to begin his ministry. Temptation was there. So before the temptation, he was being ministered to. You see, while the Bible says he was a-hungered, he was hungry physically, but spiritually, he was ready. He had spent time in prayer and fasting. He was ready. See, what was he ready for? He was ready for the ministry. He was ready for his task to complete the Father's will. He was ready to call his disciples. He was ready to plant the church. He was ready to work the miracles. He was ready to go to the cross. He was ready. But before he began all this, he spent time in fasting. He was prepared for the temptations he would face. In every one of the temptations the devil threw his way, he responded, of course, and overcame them with victory from the Word of God, from prayer and fasting. I believe we have an example here that if we spend the time in prayer and fasting, God will use it to prepare us. I guess, let me read Matthew chapter number 6 real quick. In verse number 17, it says, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face." Now listen to verse 18. that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what does that mean, reward thee openly? I believe it will be a visible presence of God rewarding you. What I'm not saying is that we pray and God's going to dump money from the sky. That's not the reward. The reward is this, that it will be evident that God is at work in your life. Jesus fasted, and it was quite evident that God was working through him. I think we looked recently in the service at what Peter said in his preaching in Acts. He referred to the good works that the Father did through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was evident that God was working through him. By no coincidence did his ministry start with prayer and fasting. It was evident in his victory over temptation that he had spent time in prayer and fasting. Maybe tonight, and you know, I don't know your situation, but maybe tonight you say, I have direction from God. God has given me consideration. I am totally rejuvenated spiritually. I am right with God. The sin has been removed. I am enjoying God's protection, and I feel restored, and I'm helping everyone I can, and God is just working through me. I, like Daniel, have gotten instruction from God. If that, I really would like to meet you because you're amazing. But secondly, I'll tell you this, there's still times for prayer and fasting because there's going to be things we're going to face next week that we need him. There may be a temptation around the corner tomorrow that if we don't have a close walk with God, even the best of men are still men at best. And we can fall flat on our face. I guess simply put, if Jesus found it necessary to fast before he began this ministry, before he faced temptation, how much more, so much more, do we need this in our life? Maybe you're about to begin a new ministry. Maybe you've just taken a position of pastor. Maybe you're starting a new ministry in our church. It wouldn't hurt to take a day or two and to pray and fast. Say, God, prepare me for what you'd have for me. Again, I don't want to take long on this, but the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Why aren't we seeing more victories? By no coincidence has the devil blinded Christians to the need of fasting. He has to laugh at the spiritual impotence that churches have, not being able to do what God called him to do. Perhaps it would change prayer and fasting. Just a few more. In Acts chapter number 9, we see the next person we see spend time in fasting. There's a few others, but I think you can see all these. In Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1, I'm not going to read all this. You know the story. Saul was persecuting Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest and imprison, if not worse, to believers. God shone a great light upon him, and he got saved. Praise the Lord. And then we get down here, after this conversion of Saul, who would become Paul, in verse number 7 in Acts chapter 9, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink." So Paul, Saul at the time, he spends 3 days in fasting. And I believe he did it for this reason. He was beginning a relation with God. A newfound relationship that was not there before. Obviously, he's a new convert. And he deems it necessary to spend 3 days in fasting. I'll just give these three thoughts according to what we just read. Number one, he spent this time blind to the world. He couldn't see. It's good for us to spend time in fasting to pull away, to put the world away from us for a bit. To quit looking at everything and our flesh getting stirred to be blinded to the world. You see, second thing is this, I believe during this time that there were some basics that were established. So what do you mean some basics that were established? In verse number 11, it says, again, the Lord now speaks to Ananias. He was a believer, and God tells Ananias to go see Saul. In verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. What was Saul doing during this time of fasting? He was blinded to the world, and he was praying. See, who is he talking to? God. How much did he know about New Testament polity? Nothing. How long had he been in a relationship and talking to God? Hours. How much theology did he know apart from the law and the strict, you know, Judaism and the Pharisees? Nothing. What did he know about the ministry and the true teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Limited. So what's he doing? He's praying. What's he doing? Letting God teach him. Asking God to show him. And God was. He's starting with the basics. If you're a new child of God, a new believer, if you want to say, all right, I really want to get to know the Lord. I want to get to know. Why don't you take a couple of days. Pull away from the world. And spend time in prayer asking God the same question and the only question that we see Paul asking God. Lord, what will they have me to do? You see, I believe in verse number 11, God's answering that prayer. Let me tell you, Paul, what I want you to do. You see, he's blind to the world. Some basics were established. And then you see a believer was sent. In verse number 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. See, this time of fasting made him blind to the world. His basics, some basics were established. And by the time he's done, a believer is sent out to do a great work. All of us are sitting here tonight listening to this as part of the fruit of the ministry of Paul. We all can be thankful tonight for his ministry. It started in the house of somebody named Judas in the city of Damascus, of a new convert who didn't know much at all. But he fasted. He put the world away. He talked to God. And by the time this is over, one of the greatest heroes of the faith was sent out because of fasting. You see, a time of relation with God. Next, in Acts chapter number 13, just two more. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1, we see the church fasting. The church was fasting, and the result of this is the commission of God. In Acts chapter 13, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it lists them all in verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, these ministers, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. What do we see here? In verse number 2, I think you see the leaders of the church were fasting. In verse number 3, you see the laymen of the church were fasting. And we see the church leadership and the pew getting led of the Lord to fulfill the commission of God. If you keep on reading, the church, after prayer and fasting, they laid their hands on these and they sent them out. And these missionaries went forth, Paul and Barnabas. And some great things were accomplished. You can read about it in chapter number 14 and in verse number 26. And when they then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the works which they were fulfilled. In verse 27 in chapter 14, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. God did a great work. Churches were established all throughout Asia Minor. We know that Paul's ministry would reach into Greece, and we see that all the many churches that were established because of the missionary work of Paul and Barnabas, later Paul and Silas, and God did these things. But you know where it all started? All these churches getting started, all the souls that were won, you know where it all started? A church fasting. I speak to Gazzetta Baptist Temple, and then I also speak to any church that's listening. Are missionaries being called out of our churches? Are people surrendering to the ministry? Are souls being won, soul winning and building relationships? Perhaps we need more fasting. And that fasting and prayer would open our eyes to people realizing who's called, and a church getting behind them to send them, and a great work being done. A church fasted for the commission of God. Lastly, you see in here in Acts chapter number 14, we'll back up a few verses to verse number 20, you see the missionary fasted. In Acts chapter 14, verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, and he rose up and came into the city, the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. So we rehearse the missionary work of the missionaries. And notice that in all these churches, souls were saved, they were baptized, a pastor was put in place, and before that church was established, they spent time in prayer and fasting. To the missionary tonight, fasting can be a time of dedication to God. I guess I would just look at my missionary sent out of our church, and any missionary might be listening tonight, to say this. He said, boy, I really would like to see this church get organized. How about some prayer and fasting? I'd really like to see, you know, this work get organized and a pastor called to this place. How about prayer and fasting? You see, we have a testimony here of the missionary going out, but the church is not being established, but without prayer and fasting. In this passage, I give you my outline. They were confirmed, they were told to continue, and then they were commended. There was teaching, there was tribulation, and then there's trust. Fasting's important. So our study tonight, and we close and we're done. These different characters that we studied the last 2 weeks, Moses sought through fasting direction from the Lord. David through fasting sought consideration from the Lord. Elijah through fasting sought rejuvenation from the Lord. Ezra and Nehemiah through fasting sought remission from God. Esther through fasting sought protection. Isaiah through fasting sought restoration. Daniel through fasting sought instruction. We see that the Lord Jesus through fasting taught us preparation. Paul through fasting taught us how to build a relationship. The church through fasting was reminded of their commission. And the missionary through fasting was able to see dedication, churches being established. I don't know about you, but all of these, we need more of. Every one of these points, our churches need. Prayer and fasting. At least think and meditate on it. I'd venture to say you're like me, that 1, 2, 3, if not a whole lot more of these, be beneficial for us. So maybe let's take some time in prayer and fasting. I've already determined in my personal life next week to take a day for prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to do the same. if all of us just take a day next week, we have plenty to pray for. Go over these thoughts or these notes tonight. Maybe one of these the Holy Spirit brings out to your attention. Let's spend some time in prayer and fasting. And not see if God doesn't do great and wonderful things. Things that maybe we forgot he can do because we've neglected prayer and fasting. Let's pray.